Let's get a little great Jewish inspiration for the day. Okay, the Chafetz Chaim used to make these very interesting observations that no one else really noticed. And in the olden days, they still have them, but I don't think people use them so much. There was something called a postcard. Postcard is if you don't want to send a whole letter, which is more expensive. So there was just like a card, and it was much cheaper. It was like maybe half the price of a regular letter in an envelope. And on one side of it, you put the address of the recipient and your address. And on the other side, you have the card. Or sometimes there's a picture on one side of the card. Like if you go to Florida, you'll see they sell like picture postcards. There's a picture on one side, and then the other side of the card is split into two, and you have room for the address on the left-hand side, the right-hand side, and then you write something on the left-hand side. But it's a very short message you can give. There's not much room on a postcard. Chafetz Chaim noticed that when a person starts writing on the back of a postcard, so he starts in, like, let's say, a bigger size font. He'll write larger because he thinks he has a certain, you know, he has enough room on the card to fit in everything that he needs to say. But then as he gets closer to the end of the card, he realizes that he's running out of room on the card. So what does he do? He starts writing like very, very small. He started off writing very big, but then as you get to the small, you get like start writing like these microscopic fonts until the end. Sometimes you go around, right? So Chafetz Chaim would say that life is like a postcard. Plan ahead. And what he meant was that when we're young in life, that's like at the beginning of the postcard, we write in big, very leisurely types of fonts, meaning we waste time, you know, life is good, life is great, everything, we'll have time for everything, and there's not, you know, we don't need to get crazy about doing and performing and achieving and accomplishing so much when we're young, because we're young and we think that we have forever and ever to do what we want to do. And then as you get older and older, all of a sudden you realize that you're running out of runway, like you don't have as much time as you thought you did. And so then people start like cramming at the end of their life. They start like cramming into that limited space that they have left, everything. That's when they start learning, that's when they start davening, that's when they start giving tzedakah away, and that's when they're starting to be nicer to people. Whatever they want to do, they try to make up for lost time at the end of life. And the Chafetz Chaim used to say that we should learn from postcards. Everything could teach us lessons. The Chafetz Chaim found a lesson in everything. It was all a Musar Shmuz to him, and he felt like a postcard teaches us that you should plan ahead. When you're young, don't wait until you're gray and, you know, to start really producing. Start producing when you're young. Learn a lot and live a lot and enjoy life and experience things and chaperein when you're young, and then you'll do more and more when you're old. But don't like assume that you're gonna have so much time to do everything that you need. You have to, you know, plan ahead, and already from the beginning of the postcard, write in small fonts so that you'll be able to accomplish everything that you want. And that's what you find by great people. I don't know if you find so many people that were late bloomers, like when they only woke up when they were 50, 60, and they started to do something great. Generally speaking, what? That's true. That's a good point. Yep. That's a good point. That's true. Rabbi Akiva did do that. But it's rare to find. You know, most people, if they're like overachievers, generally you'll find that they're overachievers when they were young. I'm sure Albert Einstein, when he was young, was already doing what he was.
That's quite debatable. His dad expelled from school for being stupid. Definitely. Okay. Probably
the internet, you're too smart. Okay, fine. It's a bad example, but right, I don't know any example. But let's put it this way. Gedali Yisrael, generally speaking, I don't know much about Albert Einstein, that's the truth. But Gedali Yisrael, you find that unless they were like Rabbi Akiva or maybe they were Balei Tshuva, But generally speaking, Gedali Yisrael, when they became, their greatness wasn't, when they were 80 years old, all of a sudden they started learning really well and they became the Gedali Yisrael. They were learning when they were children, when they were teenagers, when they were your age, they were learning. And they continued to learn. They were compounding knowledge and greatness and wisdom and midas. All of that was, when you see like a gadol that's like in his 80s and his 90s, it's not like he just woke up when he started getting gray hairs and he became a gadol. When you're looking at an 80, 90-year-old gadol, it means that this is a person that has been putting 90 years of, you know, of cramming in. He's been learning and he's been davening, he's been doing things good since he was a young man like yourselves, and that is that's the way to get great. Don't think that you have plenty of time and I'll just chill for until I get like 30, 40 and then I'll start waking up. Generally speaking, that is not a good idea. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
We may not even get to those late ages.
That's also true. That's also a very good point. Yeah, that's a big assumption. We're making an assumption that even if it was true that, you know, that you have a long life ahead, even if, and that's part of your cheshbon, but you don't know if you're going to have a long life ahead. So it's also a very, you know, that's a very true, it's true as well. Yeah. I remember reading a story about, it was Ramesha Feinstein's main Talmud. His name was Reb Nissen Alpert. He was Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He was Ramesha Feinstein's main Talmud. That's what they used to say. And so he was absolutely brilliant, and he was, you know, big tzaddik. And they said about him, and he died relatively young. He died, I think he predeceased Ramesha. I think Ramesha came to his levaya, if I'm not mistaken, and was masped him. But he died a very young man. Maybe he was in his 50s, and maybe even earlier, I don't know exactly, but he was quite young. And they said about him by his levaya. I remember very vaguely when he was nifter, and I remember that they said about him that he lived his whole life as if he knew he was going to die young. Sometimes people have that. People, like, you know, you see people are all fired up and they don't stop and they keep on, and then they die young. And so it's like almost like their neshama knew that you're not going to have all the time that you thought you were going to have. And so that itself, like you're saying, that has to inspire you that maybe I won't have as much time. You know, I'm assuming that I'll be 80 when I die, 90 when I die. And so still have a long, long life. And mitzvah Hashem, you will, but you just don't know. And so it would be a crying shame if we would, you know, think that way and then not get to really do everything that we wanted to do in life. We wanted to do so much. So you have to really live life to its fullest and don't be lazy and don't, you know, it's one of the real tragedies of some people in yeshiva, not just in yeshiva, but especially in yeshiva, is like when you find guys that they don't wake up for davening and they don't come to seder and they're just like, they what are you doing? You're young. Like, this is the time to wait. You know, you're going to wake up early when you're married with six kids, when you're 80 years old, that's when you're going to start waking up on time. Like, when you're young and you have the strength to get up, so use it to get up. Get up for davening. Like, you know, the Rebbe Shlomo's waiting for you by davening. What do you keep hitting your snooze button like you're an old man for? Like, if you're young, act young. If you have some, I was speaking to somebody today, and like, you know, he wants to get up and he just physically can't. So I said, either you're, you know, I was speaking to him like what he might need to do. Maybe need vitamins. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's you're not getting enough sleep. I don't know. We were going through the different options, but all things being equal, like if a person is just able to get up, why wouldn't you get up? Like when you're young, it behooves you to act young, because that's what youth is all about. Youth is all about being excited about life and waking up on time and running and doing and accomplishing and absorbing. That's what youth is for. Okay. Let's see another another quote. Yeah, this is something that ties in, I think, very well to the other quote. Okay, this is by a quote by the Kapishnitzer Rebbe. Kapishnitzer Rebbe was one of the great gedolim in America around the time of Aaron Cutler. Whenever Aaron Cutler would say, "Let's ask the Rebbe what to do," he was talking about the Kapishnitzer Rebbe. This is what the Kapishnitzer Rebbe looked like. He was a big tzaddik, and he was from the Rizhner line of Chassidus, and he was just a very fascinating person, Torah personality. Somebody, a grandson of his, lives in Kew Gardens Hills. His name is Yitz Chorsky, and he allowed me to use this picture. I don't know if you could see it, but it's a very cool picture of the Kapishnitzer Rebbe with sunglasses, without a frock, just with tzitzis out, and he was with his sickle, and he was gathering wheat for shmur matzis, right? So, and there's like an old-fashioned car in the background, and he used to say, "I have not come to this world merely to fulfill my obligations." You know, sometimes people say, "I was yaitze, I fulfill my obligations. I did the mitzvah," meaning like you did it, but like by the skin of your teeth you did it. And he was saying that I didn't come down to this world just to be yaitze my mitzvahs. When I do a mitzvah, I want to be able to do it with all of my ramach evarim, my shasagidim, all of my limbs, all of my my entire body, my entire soul should be consumed in the mitzvah. I'm not doing it. Yeah, sometimes we daven and we're spacing out the whole daven. Did we daven? Yeah. Do we put on tefillin? Yeah. Do we wear tzitzis? Yeah. But we didn't really do it. We were yaitze. We just fulfilled the obligation. We checked the box, but we didn't actually do the mitzvah in the fullest sense of the word. And I think we're all guilty of this very often. The Kapishnitzer Rebbe said that I didn't come down to this world to just be yaitze. What was the context that he was saying this about? What was the context of his of saying this? So the story goes like this. After baking matzahs, he tipped one of the Jewish workers who needed the dough. He went to a matzah baker, it was this time of year, and there were people that were helping his chabura roll the dough or knead the dough, and he gave the guy, after they got their matzahs, he gave them a tip, whatever it was. And then he returned to make Erev Pesach matzahs, a hiddur, like it's extra special to make matzahs on Erev Pesach. It's the same time as you would bring the Karban Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash's time. Anyway, it's a very, you know, it's a dangerous thing to do because if it gets chametz, you know, you're in trouble, you know, then you're owning chametz after this man. But that's what people do. It's a very auspicious time to bake matzah. A lot of people sing Hallel as they're baking matzahs on Erev Pesach. And he had just baked matzahs a couple weeks earlier. And then he went back Erev Pesach, that same fellow that had kneaded the dough for him last time, he kneaded the dough again on Erev Pesach. And again, what did the Kapishnitzer Rebbe do? He gave him another tip. So this person reminded him, the Rebbe was already yaitze. You did it already. You gave me a tip already. Yeah, you don't have to give me again. You're yaitze given. You did it already. And the Rebbe replied, I'll say it in Yiddish, "Ich bin nicht gekommen auf die Welt. I didn't come to this world yaitze zu sein, merely to fulfill my obligations. I didn't come here just to be like this guy that's fulfilling my obligations to be yaitze. I want to come to this world and I want to do everything right. I want to do everything as best as possible." You know, sometimes you go to the on Chalamaya trips or something, you go to these, what do they call these parks? These theme park, what? Amusement parks. And you know, there's like this thing that you take like a hammer and you hit something and then it goes, and if you hit it really strongly, what happens? It goes all the way up and it what? It hits a bell, right? There's a bell on the top. There's a bell on the top, and if you get it all the way, boom, you're a bell. So I always wonder, like, when we do our mitzvahs, have we ever like hit the bell? Have we ever done a mitzvah in our life that if it was that type of, you know, apparatus, that you could tell if you accomplished the goal, and the goal would be when you hear the bell. Have we ever done a single mitzvah like that in our life? We ever daven the Shemini Esrei that if it was that we'd be able to, like, on a spiritual level, hear a bell go off? Or have we ever, like, given tzedakah with such purity, with such kavan, with such lishma, that we'd hear a bell go off? Or have we ever learned purely without distractions and really tried to, like, have a melos and yagia and learning, a toil in our learning to the degree that we, even if we, our level of learning is not the highest, but on whatever level we're holding, to be able to really try to put our brain into it to the degree that we would hear a bell go off? We put that much strength into it, that much focus and attention. Have we done one mitzvah like that in our whole life? That's the difference between, like, a tzaddik and a regular person. A tzaddik, every single mitzvah that he does, you can almost hear the bell go off. I was zeicha to, you know, to spend a lot of time with my Rosh Hashiva and Chaim Berlin Rav Aaron Schechter, and this is what he was famous for. Like that's what they were saying by his. By his Levaya, and recently they honored him at the Chaim Berlin dinner, his memory. And the theme was that basically his legacy, if Rav Aaron Schechter has one legacy, it's that whatever you do, do it right. When you're davening, it's a davening. His davening was fully focused. There was never a davening. You know, sometimes we do a long shmoneh, sometimes we do a short shmoneh, sometimes our heads in the sky, sometimes our heads on a baseball game. With Rav Aaron Schechter, every time he did a Shemini Esrei, it was a long Shemini Esrei, it was very long his Shemini Esrei, and they would wait for him, and it would be fully, he would be all consumed with Kavanah of what he was doing. One time I was in Camp Morris, which is a summer home of Chaim Berlin, and I had to speak to him about something, and I went to his bungalow, and there was like a screen door, so I could look in. And I thought I could just, you know, knock and go in, but I saw that he was davening mincha. I guess he missed the regular yeshiva mincha, whatever. And so I waited until he was finished Shemini Esrei. But I thought that his Shemini Esrei would be shorter. You know, when you're in the Beis Medrash, you're in front of 100, 200, 300 people, that's where you daven a long shemoneh. When you're at home, you know, you do like a 3-minute Shemini Esrei just to be, you know. But it was longer. It was like almost like a longer Shemini Esrei than in public. That's the way everything that he did, if he took a lulav and esrog in hand, it wasn't just like, okay, you know, like, what are we eating for breakfast? Like, it was like he put everything into it, like every ounce of strength he put in. His Hashanahs, the Hashanahs in Chaim Berlin, you know, I don't know what Hashanahs look like in your shuls. We daven in the same shul, but like, you know, it's pretty, during on Yom Tovim, we daven in Young Israel. And it's just, whatever, I'm not to say bad. It's a regular Young Israel daven, it's a regular shul davening. You basically, everybody's looking to do Hashanahs and get it over with, and Yaitzeh is designed, like, just to be Yaitzeh and check the box. I did the Hashanahs, I went around the circle, I did this, and that was it, we're good. Right? Rav Aaron Schechter, it was like a 1-hour affair to go around the Beis Medrash with his Hashanahs. And his sukkah was a sukkah, and his matzahs were a matzah, and his, you know, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Whatever he did for the Rabbeinu Shalom was fully engaged. He wasn't doing it with half a brain. That's what he tried to instill in us. That's what he tried to instill in his Talmidim, that, you know, when you do something, he wasn't preaching this, he was just doing it. He wasn't telling us, you have to do it this way. He was just doing it, and everybody was following him, because this was, whatever he did right. Whatever he did, there was nothing that he did that was schlocky when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Whatever he did right. And that's what the Kabbishan Rebbe is telling us, I didn't come down to this world. You know how far Yenisham had to come from heaven to arrive? It wasn't like an LL flight from somewhere to somewhere. It was like you had to take, you know, it was a journey of thousands of miles each of our neshamas had to take to get down to planet Earth and to be put into our mother and to be able to, he says, you think I traveled thousands, maybe millions of miles just to be Yaitzis, is I just to check the boxes throughout my life? I'm not saying that we're going to come out of here, we're going to daven a mincha, like, you know, but once in a while, like, you know, it just like to try to think, how can I do this mitzvah that I could hear that bell ring? I want to put, like, do one mitzvah. I want to put on my tefillin once in my life that I'm having the right kabbana when I'm about to tie the strap and I'm going to say the bracha and I'm going to think about what I'm supposed to be thinking about and I'm not going to be thinking about anything else. If I could do that once in a blue moon, that would be a great accomplishment. But it goes back to the first quote that we were talking about, that a person has to know, like a postcard, that your life is limited and you might not get that chance. Like you were saying, you might not get, you know, I'll put on film properly another day. How do you know there's going to be another day? Maybe today is that day. And so we have to like try as best as we can to do mitzvahs to the best of our abilities. And to try to, if our mind is a washcloth, to like wring it out and make sure that we're like getting as much juice out of the mitzvah, out of our kavana that we can possibly have. It's very hard. Very hard davening in Shemoneh Esrei with kavana from beginning to end. It's very hard for me to daven in Shemoneh Esrei even getting through the first bracha with kavana. As soon as you start, the Yetzer is all over you and you start like spacing out. But real people, real Gedolei Yisrael, and people, you don't have to be an old gadol, you could be just a good Eved Hashem, you really try to like stop yourself before you start to daven. Think of where you are, focus on the mission ahead, and see how many of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei you can get through with kavana. If you need a good sitter, get yourself on, you know, an interlinear sitter, a good art school sitter, or whatever, and just try to really focus on what you're saying in front of Hashem, what you're communicating to Hashem. It behooves us to have kavana and to know what we're saying. The great Katzker Rebbe, they say, when somebody took three steps back by Shemoneh Esrei, he used to go over sometimes and say, Shalom Aleichem. So, Shalom Aleichem, I just daven Shemoneh Esrei. I didn't come back from... He says, yeah, I know, but when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you were in Eretz Yisrael, you were in Honolulu, you were in Russia, you were in Poland, you were in Gaza. Your mind was all over the place. Your mamash went around the world during the Shemoneh Esrei, and now you're making Eitz Hashem, giving you Shalom Aleichem. And that's unfortunately the way it is. We you know, it's not a new problem. It's a problem that went back ages and ages. People, because it's so, that's not a chisaron, by the way. It means that it's very important what we're doing. And so the Yetzer Hara like doesn't want us to do it. So he makes it very difficult. It's a sign that we're doing something right almost because, you know, it's a threat to him. We're a threat to the Yetzer Hara and he, and that's why we awoken him. But this is something that, you know, if we really want to, like ramp up our Avedis Hashem and try to really make it a life that's replete, that's full of proper service to Hashem, our benching should be a benching. Our bracha should be a bracha. How many times do we eat something and we forget to make a bracha achrayna? It happens to me all the time. All of a sudden, like, I'm ready, like, you know, I left them, whatever, you get busy, I work in my office, working with something. All of a sudden, like, I don't remember. Did I make an al mechia? Did I make a bracha nefashis? And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, you already made a mezainis, and then you get something else, you make a new mezainis, you forget. Like, that's not the way we should be. We should be, like, focused on what we're doing and be in the zone at all times or as much as we can. And if we could do that one day at a time, we can end up being gedolim. We could be Rav Aaron Schechter. He was born in America. He was, you know, if he could do it, then theoretically we could do it also. The only difference between us and him, or primary difference, is because he cared enough to, it was chashuv by him every mitzvah that he did, so that he did it to the best of his ability. He didn't settle for mediocrity. He didn't say, all right, I'm yaitze. As long as I'm yaitze, I'm fine. No, it's not a matter of being yaitze. Your neshama did not come down here to be yaitze. Your neshama came down here to really hit that bell every single time. And amidst Hashem, we'll be able to do it as much as we possibly can.